So, dear Mr. Vice-Chancellor, I would like to thank you and Professor Ellis very much for the kind invitation to come here to give this lecture at the University of Cape Town. I choose as the title Quantum Games and Quantum Information, and you will see very soon why. What you see here on the first picture is a telescope. And this already alludes to the experiments which Professor Ellis was mentioning, the experiments on long-distance quantum communication. You see this famous stars, they're making some tracks back there, and you see one light beam, and this is a laser beam which we use for our experiments. Let me just set the stage a little bit about the questions we discuss, and I want to discuss with you some of the basic fundamental issues. I don't want to go into technical details, neither experimentally nor theoretically. The discussion goes back to the early days of quantum physics. Just to set the background a little bit, quantum physics was created in the first quarter of the last century, essentially, and it was immediately realized that this theory leads to counterintuitive predictions when applied to individual quanta, individual particles, including quanta of light or whatever. This gave rise immediately to discussions between Albert Einstein and Niels Bohr, among others. Albert Einstein is well known to everybody. Niels Bohr was a leading theoretical physics in Denmark. And one of the basic setups they were discussing is the double-slit interference I show you here in this picture. This was a picture drawn by Niels Bohr about 30 years later in an article where he recalls the discussions with Einstein. And I like this picture very much. You know, I am an experimentalist. This picture was drawn by a theoretician. But he knew that, for example, screws are very important in an experiment. You know, this is not just a coincidence. They're really important. I can tell you from my own experience. If you forget them, it doesn't work. Now, just to set the stage a little bit about the kind of questions. These people have been debating and which are still being discussed today, but on a much more advanced level. Here we have an entrance slit. From the left, you might imagine something coming in. Actually, for a quantum physicist, it doesn't matter what. Let's talk about light for the beginning. There's light coming in, and the light illuminates these two slits. Now the light can go through both slits, and when you have an observation screen here, you see dark and bright stripes forming, called fringes. Now, why are they forming? This is easily understood if you know that light is a wave. So at some place where the bright fringes form, the two waves coming through the two slits enforce each other. At the dark places, they extinguish each other. So far, so fine, and we understood everything. The problem is that with quantum physics, as has been first suggested by Einstein and then formulated nicely in theory by many people, in quantum physics we know that light consists of individual particles, of individual quanta. So if we now realize this, we can ask that we have individual quanta, we can ask ourselves, how do these stripes form then? Because an individual particle can only go through this slit or through this slit. But in order to, for example, make a dark fringe, we've before learned that we have to have waves coming through both slits. So somehow each particle should know whether the other slit is open or not. This is crazy. This doesn't make sense, right? And Einstein used this kind of argument to argue that quantum mechanics can't be the final answer to our understanding of the world. He actually predicted for this kind of experiment, he said, well, there are many particles going through and they meet each other and they kind of make up the pattern then, which is a very, very reasonable idea. This is one of the points where Einstein was definitely wrong.